Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And Barabbas was a bandit. It is Christ the King Sunday. We are celebrating Christ as King. This is the last Sunday of the church year. There was a little 5-year-old boy who was kind of stalling going to bed. If you've ever been around little children, they kind of stall about going to bed and they'll find any excuse. This little boy, he says, "Can I have a glass of juice?" "No, sir," his father answered, "no more juice. I am king of the juice in this house." "No, Daddy, that's not right. Our Sunday school teacher said Jesus is the king of the juice." Jesus doesn't answer directly when Pilate asks if he's the king of the Jews. And in a way, it kind of hardly sums up his being king. He is not just king of the Jews. He is king of the Gentiles and everyone on heaven and earth. And that's why he came into the world. That's why he was born. So now on this last Sunday of the church year, we celebrate Christ the King right before we start anticipating his second coming through Advent. You'll notice that the church year doesn't go like the normal year that we think of on the calendar. It starts on January 1st. Our church year starts with the first Sunday in Advent. And that's, like I said, when we are thankful that he came the first time and anticipate his second coming. We celebrate his birth. Then we go through the church year by celebrating Epiphany, his baptism, his temptation, and then the beginning of his teaching ministry. Then we enter the season of Lent, when we begin focusing on his death, then the resurrection of Easter. And that is followed by the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then we, the church, seek to live out Christian lives following Jesus throughout the ordinary days of the year. If you'll ever notice, for most of the year, there's a green cloth on the pulpit. That is for the ordinary times, they call it. And those are those times when we are supposed to, as Christians, follow Christian values, do Christian things, help others, be there for others, all those things that go along with being a Christian. Christ the King is not really a radical idea. We see him that way. Some of society does not see him that way. But as Christians, our first allegiance is to Christ. And maybe that's a radical idea, I'm not sure. But we are dedicated to Christ. That's where our allegiance is. It's not to any political party. And you see a lot of that going on since we've had those midterm elections, all the political infighting. Our allegiance is not to Republicans or Democrats or whoever. It's not to the opinions of our family or our friends. Our opinion, our allegiance is to Christ. There's a story of a little boy that was in a hospital in England. This was during the time of King George V. And the king was going to make a visit to this hospital, talk to the people that were there. So they all got dressed as best as they could in nice clothes, waiting for him to come by. Well, about 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, the king came by this little boy's bed and talked to him a little bit, was real nice with him and patted him on the head and then went on about visiting others in the hospital. About bedtime, the nurse is getting this boy ready for bed, and he says, "I thought the king was supposed to come by today. We didn't get to see the king." The nurse said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "Did you not remember the elderly man that came by and talked nicely to you and patted you on the head?" The little boy goes, "That wasn't the king." She goes, "Oh, yeah, that was the king." He goes, no, that wasn't the king. He was not wearing a crown." We sometimes vision kings and queens as wearing crowns. Jesus didn't wear a crown. Jesus didn't need to wear a crown. He was our king because God sent him here to be our king. And that's the way we look at Christ. And that's the way the world needs to look at Christ. When they brought Jesus to Pilate, Pilate kind of knew something was up. Something's real fishy here. Why were the Jews bringing a Jew to him to be punished? He didn't understand it. He thought, well, something's going on here. And so he questioned Jesus, like the verses we read in the Bible, about whether he was king of the Jews or, you know, where his kingdom was. And they talked about these different things and about his accusers and what they were accusing him of. They had accused him of not paying taxes, not being loyal to the Romans. But Pilate, in questioning him, knowing that something was not quite right here, didn't find anything wrong with him. Didn't find him guilty of anything. And Jesus assured him that, "I'm not here to cause problems for the Romans. I'm not here to have a big battle. I'm not a big military leader. I'm just here to help my people." And Pilate, if you'll remember, literally washed his hands of the whole situation. He tried to save Jesus by giving them a choice, and they chose a bandit, a bad man, instead of Jesus. And we think about Jesus being here, being king, and what he went through for us. And he came willingly. The Father sent him, and even though he had a slight question the night before, "God, if this could pass me by," but he didn't let it happen. He gave himself for us. He allowed himself to be crucified. You'll notice that the verse I read this morning also talk about how if this was his kingdom here on earth, then his followers would be fighting to save him. You'll recall the Bible also makes the comment that all he had to do is ask, and God would have sent legions of angels to protect him. He didn't want that. He wanted to give himself for us, be our king, and take care of us like he does today. He continually takes care of us. He knows that at some point he's coming back. He doesn't know when. He told the disciples only the Father knows. But he knows that when he comes back, as Philippians tells us, Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will kneel. Jews, Gentiles, everybody. Heaven and earth, the angels will kneel before him. And we adore Jesus for what he's done for us. We adore him, first of all, because he was willing to identify with us. He was willing to move among us, see how we live, feel the same hurts and pains that we feel. So he knows how it is to be human. So we can't look at him and say, well, you can't empathize with us because you don't know what it is like. He does know what it's like because he's been here, willingly gave himself to walk among us, to see what it was really like. There was a church that was having coffee and donuts before the service. You know, a lot of the bigger churches, they'll do this. Everybody will meet in the fellowship hall and they'll have coffee, donuts, breakfast maybe, whatever, before the service starts. Kind of fellowship with one another. Well, as they're all sitting there and enjoying each other's company, there's a little bit of a commotion underneath one of the tables. So the preacher goes over there and he kind of lifts up the tablecloth and he looks underneath there, and there's this little 3-year-old redheaded boy and an elderly gentleman of the congregation sitting under the table with their little matchbox cars playing. You all remember the matchbox cars? They call them Hot Wheels today, but back when I was young, that was the collectible thing, those little matchbox cars. But anyway, they were under there playing with those. This elderly man was in his Sunday best and crawled underneath the table to play with this little boy. And the preacher kind of looked at all that and it occurred to him. He said, maybe it's a small thing playing matchbox cars under the table on a Sunday morning, but when I saw them there, I thought that's what church should be. A place where even for a moment or two, life breaks open and joy abounds. A place where you can let loose. Be joyful. Enjoy each other's company. A place where you can just be yourself. You don't have to put on any facade like we do out in society about who we are. We can just be who we really are. And that's important that we do that. Jesus wants us to be that way. He wants you to just be who you are. Let him take care of you. He wants to be our King. He's also worthy of our adoration because of his compassion for everyone he met on earth. It didn't make any difference who they were, what their station was in society. He didn't care. Everybody that he saw was the same. And he was compassionate to everyone. He went around healing, performing miracles, all kinds of different things to different people, and he didn't care who they were. And he's still that way today. Society just doesn't see it. The Prince of Wales was visiting India one year, and as typical, you see a government head, they surround him with security people, put up barriers to keep people from getting close to him, and that's the way it was. Well, the Prince of Wales looked at that and he said, I want those barriers taken down. I want to be able to walk among the people. I want them to be able to reach out and shake my hand. I want to be among them. And that's what he did. He walked amongst the people. But that kind of got him a name. They called him the Prince of the Outcasts because he was willing to walk among all those people. Jesus is kind of like that. He's the Prince of the Outcasts because he walked among us and he didn't care who we were. He loved people. He paid attention to people. And he continues to pay attention to us today and love us. And it is true, natural love that he gives us. God's very nature is love. And so we adore him for that, that he came among us. We also adore him as our king because he was willing to give himself up on the cross. Isaac Watts writes, "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose such a rich crown?" Jesus himself even summed it up when he said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." He laid down his life for all of us as friends. There was a man who traveled a great distance for an interview with a scholar. And he was ushered into the man's study. And in this study, he noticed that the walls were covered with books, bookshelves and books. You've seen pictures probably on TV of these fancy libraries where the books are floor to ceiling on every wall. And that's how this was. So the man asked this scholar, he says, I've come a long way to ask you just one question. Tell me, of all you've learned, what is the one thing most worth knowing? Of all those books that he's probably read, what's the most worth knowing? He put his hand on the gentleman's shoulder and says, "My dear sir, of all the things I have learned, only two are really worth noting. The first is, I am a great sinner. And the second is, Jesus Christ is a great Savior." He is. He is a great Savior. You can't earn your way into heaven. We are all sinners, and we have to admit that. We still make mistakes even after you give yourself to Christ. But he understands. As long as you learn from those things. He loves us, no matter who we are or what we do. And we celebrate Christ the King this Sunday because of all that. Because of his identification with our humanity. Because of his compassion with everyone that he met. And because of his willingness to go to the cross. And the amazing thing about all that is he did it for you and for me. And that's why we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. We owe him our allegiance. And we demonstrate our allegiance by how we live as Christians. We love him because he first loved us. He demonstrated all of that through his life, his death, and his resurrection. He didn't have to do all that for us, but he did because he loves us. And he did all that to be our king. And that's why we celebrate Christ the King Sunday on this last Sunday of the Christian year. Amen.